By the grace of God. Well, it's a wonderful thing. I really enjoyed that singing, I'll tell you. Isn't it good to be in the house of God? How we thank God. I tell you, I look at the things of the world and I say, boy, they just don't get it. We're living in a day and age that honestly I cannot identify with it. I try to fit in places, but it's getting more difficult all the time. And by the way, these men were talking about when that dust rises and we go back to meet the Lord in the sky. I'm afraid if the Lord doesn't soon come and get me, a lot of my friends aren't going to think I'm coming. So I'm trying to say, Lord, I don't want to wait too long here because my buddies are going to miss me. Dick Biesecker, I've always loved Dick Biesecker. His voice was like a bass drum. And love God got on that piano, and I'll tell you, he went from one side to the other. I never could understand that. I'm not what do you call it, ambidextrous or whatever. I can do one thing, but I don't know how you can say, no, you go there and I'll go over here. But it's a wonderful thing to be in the house of God and to know the family of God, to know most of all the creator of everything. The Lord God Almighty. I was speaking on the radio yesterday about the fact of the absence of wisdom, of eternal wisdom of God in this world, and how we're just so ignorant because man's wisdom falls so far short, doesn't it? This next election is really a referendum on God. It's a referendum on the things of God. And our country is divided because I believe we've not done a good job of being as faithful to God as we ought to be. But you and I are here today, and we're sinners saved by the grace of God, and we're going to trust God for our lives and what he has for us in the future. When I listened to that singing, I just went all over my... My repertoire, I ought to say this, I ought to say that, Don, I ought to get into that. So I ended up with nothing. I'm trying to say, what am I going to do now? I have a good sermon for that one. I left it at home. But I want to talk to you a little bit from my heart. Again, thank you for allowing me to come. Herm Fischler, my friend. Many ways, my mentor. I always admired Herm Fischler. God love him. I don't know if a man has as much faith as he does. I had a church one time. Herm would go every year on a vote. Now, if I did that, I'd have all my furniture in a U-Haul. and we'd camp out underneath a tent somewhere because at any one given time in my church, I could have been voted out. But Herm, God love him, he had that vote up every year, and I'd have had a heart attack. I wouldn't have lived nearly as long. But Herm, I'm honored to be here, and I trust that I will have something a bit germane. I want to talk about the cause, for this cause. Paul said, for this cause, we don't quit. For this cause, we're just not going to faint. It may look like sometimes we're losing, but I think we're on the winning side, and you know we are, that one day the trumpet will sound, and we that know the Lord shall go home. I want you to turn, please, in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm always delighted to have Gloria with me. She led me to the Lord many years ago. I came out of the United States Marine Corps. I was lost. But the Marine Corps identified me a little bit with religion. Whenever we were being put into the Marine Corps, they asked you a lot of questions. And the one man said, what's your religion? I said, well, I don't have any. He said, what do you mean you don't have any? I said, well, I don't have any. I'm not religious. He said, well, I never heard of that. Well, I said, I don't know. He said, well, what, do you go to church? I said, every now and then. He said, well, what church do you go to? I said, well, it's a Methodist church. And he stamped my dog tag, Methodist. So they identified me. Everywhere in the Marines, if we went to church, which was once every millennium, I went to the Methodist, and but she called me. I called her up for because I thought I was interested in her. I had seen her in high school. I thought I'd like maybe call that little girl up. I knew there was something different about her, so I called her up, and she said, "I'm sorry, I'm busy." I said, "No problem. I've been in the Marine Corps. I know what struggle is. I can run through the briar bushes." And she said, "Well, how about?" I said, "Well, how about tomorrow night?" She said, "I'm sorry, I'm busy." I said, "Well, my goodness." I said, "How about the next night?" She said, "I'm busy." I said, "Seems like you're awful busy." And then she said, "If you'd like, you could go with me." I thought, "Wow. Where are we going?" She said, "Church." No, she said, "Revival meeting." I said, "Revival meeting." In my mind's eye, I'm thinking, what is a revival meeting? So I said, "Okay, yeah, I'll be glad to go." And so I said, where is it held? She said, "In our church." I thought, uh-oh. So, but anyhow, an hour here and there wouldn't matter at all. I had another objective. So I went to the revival meeting. I found the Lord. It's an interesting story about all of that in my life. But that night, the evangelist stood there and he said, "I want to tell you what happens the moment that you die." I had seen death. When I was 8.5 years old, my father died. And I remember my mother. My father was an alcoholic, and in one side of me, I said, "You know, I'm glad he's gone." There was a lot of turmoil, a lot of fighting, holes in the wall, doors kicked in. I said, "I'm glad he's gone." And then that day, when that hour came, my mother, standing there at the casket, cried, "I don't know what I'm going to do." She said to my grandfather, "Daddy, what am I going to do?" My grandfather said, "I don't know what we're going to do." And I couldn't. I stood there in a terrible state. My mother said, "David, I don't want you to forget your dad. And I'll tell you, I've done research on my father. And now I'm ashamed that I had feelings about him the way I did. Because my father was in the First World War. He was in France as a 16-year-old, almost a 17-year-old boy. He had mustard gas. He had been shrapnel wounds all through his body. And he had a wound in his arm that kept him from being very active. More active as he would like to have been. My mother said, "David, I want you to kiss your daddy, and that way you'll never forget him." I didn't understand that. I couldn't. I thought that was the first dead person I had ever seen, and frankly, I was afraid of death. But I obeyed my mom, and I went up to my dad's casket. And I kissed him, and I remember how cold it was. And I said, "Mama, what happens when you die?" She said, "David, we just go back to the element of the earth." She said, "The minister is going to say, he'll go up to the cemetery, and he'll take ground. And he'll take the ground and throw it in on the casket. And he'll say, 'Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, from the earth we have come, and to the earth you shall return.'" I thought, boy, is that ever fatalism. My father was not quite 47 years of age. I thought, my goodness. So I went through all of my life thinking about how futile life was. I heard the Epicureans' philosophy of eat, drink, and be merry. In the Marine Corps, we sort of lived on that strata. You know, just grab life or whatever you can get. You may not be here tomorrow. Let's just get everything that we can. And so that day when I had done a lot of searching in my heart, and I heard that evangelist say, at the moment of your death, you will meet God. And he said, I'm going to tell you how to meet God. And that night, as he gave his sermon, I was transfixed. I thought, wow. I went to the altar. They gave the invitation. I went to the altar, and I bowed my heart. And the minister said, pray. Ask God for help. And I thought within myself, I don't even know how to pray. A man came up alongside of me and shared with me how to say the prayer, the sinner's prayer. And I received Jesus as my Savior. It changed me. I had an aunt in Millersburg that prayed for me. I did not know it for a long time. But she prayed. I'm glad she didn't give up. You know, the devil would like you to give up. The devil would like you to go ahead and say, well, you know, you've gone through this so much. Paul said, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season, thank God, we'll faint if we'll win if we faint not. It's easy to give up. There's a lot of things that will confront us on a daily basis, and sometimes we just get weary. We have faced so, we've done so many things, and we've had a routine, and we've gone through the routine. And I think sometimes we can get just weary with all of it. But I pray by the grace of God that we won't. I'm glad my aunt in Millersburg did. I don't know why she kept praying for us. There was no signs whatsoever. She was the only religious person in all of our family. My mother had 7 sisters, I think. She said, I'm going to pray for David and Paul and Bobby every day. And she wrote me a letter in Paris, and she said, I'm praying for you. I didn't really understand all of that, but I thought, wow, I'm glad she didn't stop praying. We just cannot stop praying. There's sometimes I think we just ought to shut out the media. We ought to shut out a lot of things that are going around about us and just get alone with God and let God give us a peace that will pass all understanding. We are on the victor's side. We know from the scriptures that there's going to be many difficult days coming up. It's not going to get better. Climate change. Well, who in the world can do anything about climate change? The only thing I know we can do, well, that one lady up there in New York, that nitwit, she said, just don't have airplanes and don't have trains and don't have, and then she said, don't have cows. I thought, what does cows have to do with it? And she said, well, thank goodness she was able to explain it by saying flatulation. That's a good word. But she said, these cows are flatulating, and it's causing... What's Selena? Aren't you glad you had the stability of the Bible? No open borders. We don't want to close the borders. It's not Christian. Well, God said that a man that doesn't have the control of God is like a man with a city with its walls broken down. You need to have walls around your heart. You need to have walls around your family. You need to have barriers and perimeters. I find perimeters so secure. I find it very meaningful. But they don't want borders. And they even want to kill babies now, after they've been born. It's a horrible thing. So I want us to look at this. And I want us to never forget the wonderful cause that we're about. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let me pray. Father, we are humbled. We are indeed thankful. Father, we confess our inability to be able to be the instrument that you so desperately need, maybe for this hour and for life. Would you help us? Father, would you do that for us that we cannot do for ourselves? Would you let Christ be seen? Holy Spirit, I pray for your special anointing. I thank you for the way that you have led and directed in my life, Father. It's a miracle. I know now as I look back, I see your hand of working. I see my aunt on her knees praying for these three families that were so godless. But yet she didn't quit. I thank you for my dear aunt. And I know that she's with you. And I thank you now for my mother who also has found you. And she is with you. And I know one day, Lord, there'll be a wonderful reunion. But Father, until we get there, I pray that you will help us and direct us. And Holy Spirit, help us to love God. And Jesus, help us to be faithful to your word. And Holy Spirit, I pray that we'll be very sensitive to your voice. Lift up Jesus in our midst. And help us, I pray thee now, to be strengthened by you. Speak to our hearts. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. The Apostle Paul says in verse number 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. We always have the illustration and the example, do we not, of God. You will never go anywhere. You will never suffer. You will never receive anything. But that first of all, Jesus has been there before you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Yea, though I walk even through the valley of the shadow of death, God's already walked that valley for me. So there'll be no place, nothing I ever endeavor. Or receive. Can I say that Jesus has never been there? But he said, he continues to say, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal bodies. That's a tough way to live, but it's a good way. So then, death, notice this. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. Paul wasn't on a free ride. Verse 13, we have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Isn't that a wonderful promise? John chapter 6, every body that is in the grave shall hear the voice of God and come forth. Some to the resurrection of life, and others to the resurrection of death. So Paul makes it very clear that we have this same wonderful truth. For all things are for your sakes. That's not a narcissistic thought, is it? What's in it for me? What do I get out of this? The further we walk away from God, the more narcissistic, the more selfish we become. For all things are for your sakes. And the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause, this is the text, we faint Not by though we faint not, but though our outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are not temporal. I'm sorry. For the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. That's a tough gauge, and yet it's one that is so very important. We have something to look forward to. This world is not our home. It is convalescing. It is going through deep troubles because of men walking away from God. That's where we are in this world. We look for sense and sensibility, and it seems the further we go, we have nonsense. It's further away. But Paul is saying we have an eternal God. We have something that we're looking forward to. And we as Christians, we must never forget that. We have a cause. People wonder about this. People wonder, you know, they don't understand us. The world should not understand us. And I think one of the lies the devil has taught the church is be more like the world. And you'll get all the world, you'll get all the people want to come. I don't believe that I don't think I ever believed that when I was lost. I believe there ought to be a place that's different. This music is so satisfying. It's so stimulating. Amen. The music of the world. I'm not saying that some of the gospel music and some of the contemporary songs are worthless. But I love the hymns, and I know I'm old, but I love the hymns. And somehow, I believe that I was looking, as a young man, I was looking for a haven. I was looking for some place where I might be able to anchor my life. I had tried so many things, and honestly, they all seemed to fail me desperately. And so I believe that there ought to be a place where I could go, and I believe that is why God ordained the church. I believe this is a place of refuge. I really believe that the church ought to be a place where there's a little bit of heaven. A place when we walk into, it is different because we need something different. A lot of the music of today is sensual and so many different things, and it's so empty. And so when I hear it, I say, there's something. I know you love that woman, and the woman ought to love me, and we ought to have that relationship. But somehow, there's another dimension in our lives, and that dimension is spiritual. Amen? There's something that I need in my heart. We're trichotomous. We have a body, and we have a soul, and we have a spirit. Your soul is how you communicate with people, and we need to be able to do that. But it takes the balance of God to be able to do it. Not a selfishness, not an ego, but a willingness by God giving us help to be able to communicate with one. I believe there ought to be a place. I think your home ought to be a place. I believe that it ought to be a place where whenever a man comes home, there's some peace there. And that's why I think we ought to be careful not to allow the devil to get us so involved with many things that money dominates the home. It ought to be a place where we can meet our needs, live within your means, live within what you have. Don't think you need the best and the biggest and the most. That's not important. Donald Trump left all of that. Like you said, he left all of that. Because he has, I believe, a cause that is much bigger than everything else that he had, in billions of dollars. A church is so important. A place of refuge. Paul said, for this cause, even though I have these awful difficulties, even death itself, for this cause, I faint not. What was the cause? He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I've never been to a place where people, even in the toughest of situations, could not find peace from God and find some strength to keep on keeping on. A wonderful thing. The world doesn't understand us. The world is looking for us. The world is needing us. We needed my aunt. I remember. She had a little bonnet, a little white bonnet on. And I said to my mother one day, I said, Mother, why does Aunt Toy wear that little bonnet? And my mother said, that's a prayer bonnet. I said, what? She said, it's a prayer bonnet. I guess it would remind her that it was a place of being able to know that she could talk to God any moment. And that was her, that was how she felt. Other places Paul says your hair is a covering or whatever. But I'm glad she didn't stop. Why should she keep praying for us? We so desperately needed her. I remember she would talk to me about going to church. And she said, we had such a wonderful time at church. I thought, God love her. Isn't that pitiful? I don't go to church to have fun. I get down to the football game. Or we go wherever. Go to the bar and we sit there and drink. And we have all this fellowship. And she was saying this other thing. And it was so different that it made me think about it. What's wrong with her? Why can't she have fun? Talk about God. Paul said, though we have all these things, even we face death as Christians, and we have heartaches as Christians, and how do we explain it? How was I to explain at 8.5 years old? And my mom said, Daddy, what are we going to do? My dad, my grandfather said, I don't know. And we really felt helpless. But over there in Millersburg, there was a lady that was still praying. Christians, I just don't know what I'm... I don't know where I'd be today. I didn't know it. I frankly didn't care. And so one day night there at the roll a mail call in the Marine Corps, all the DI said, don't ever ask for a package. Or the DI said, you don't ask for packages. You have a need. The Marine Corps will fill your need, idiot. They called us maggots. I mean, they kind of reduced us down, didn't they, Don? And then they tried to help build us up, but we were already maggots, so what? How did I never forget the roll call? Jaime Ravella, one of the Marines, one day at roll call at 10 o'clock at night, we were up at 4 in the morning, go to bed at 10:30. His mother sent him a pound cake. Now, I hadn't eaten anything like that for about 16 weeks. We didn't eat pogey bait as Marines. That was sissy. That's sugar. We Marines don't need sugar. We hate sugar, don't we, Marines? Yes, sir. We'll never eat sugar, will we, maggots? No, sir. We despise sugar. It makes us weak, maggots. Yes, sir. Oh, if I could only get some sugar. I mean, I'm sorry. And so here came Jaime with that pound cake, and he sat down in the D. I said, oh, sissy got a pound cake. Mommy sent a pound cake. Aren't we happy that sissy got sugar, Marines? No, sir! Aren't we mad, Marines? Yes, sir, we're mad! Jaime, could we have some? And so Jaime got a cake. The DI said, okay, maggot, eat your cake. The rest of us, we are not going to eat that cake because we are Marines. Is that not right, maggots? Yes, sir. So every Sunday we'd write a note and say, dear mother, I've never made such a wonderful decision in all my life. You know, the Marines is just like heaven. I don't know how you said that. I'm so happy to be here. Why, all my needs are met, mother. And please, mother, don't ever send me anything. Because I don't need anything, mother. The Marine Corps gives me everything, mother. Thank you. Please don't forget. Don't send me anything. That's what it is. And so, time came. Private Arnold, front and center. Sir, Private Arnold reporting his orders. Sir, maggot. Sir. And I heard it. You got a package. Aren't you happy you got a package? No, sir. You don't want a package, maggot? No, sir. Don't you have respect for your mother who sent you a package? Yes, sir. Aren't you glad you have a package? Yes, sir. Well, I'm not. Open it up. I'm thinking, well, saltwater taffy, chocolate cake, it's not big enough for that. Do you know what it was? A Schofield Reference Bible. Maggot, what is that? A Bible, sir. What? A Bible, sir. Are you an altar boy? I didn't know what that was. I said, no, sir. He said, do you like the Bible? I said, yes, sir. I don't like the Bible, maggot. Do you like the Bible? No, sir. Maggot, do you think that the Marine Corps manual is not enough for you? No, sir. Is the Marine Corps sufficient for you? Yes, sir. Then you don't need the Bible. But maggot, since you got a Bible, what I'd like you to do is read for us tonight. 10:30 at night out in a parade field. And I don't want to give you the total nomenclature of this, but we stood there with a towel wrapped around us, and that's all, and a cake of soap in our hand. You Marines know a little bit about that. I opened up the Bible to Matthew chapter 1. Now, that's the worst chapter you could ever open up to. Because, number one, most of us can't understand Matthew chapter 1. And I couldn't, because I didn't speak King James language at that point. It says, Abraham, B-E-G-A-T, B-E-G-A-T, speak, maggot! Abraham, B-E-G-A-T. Isaac, and Isaac begeet Jacob, and Jacob
beep, 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 Judah. Stop it! Where'd you get that Bible? From my aunt, sir. That ain't the Bible. Don't even make sense. But inside the Bible, inside the Bible, was a gospel tract. And on the back of the gospel tract, here's what it said. David, I'm going to pray for you every day except Sunday. I'll be in church. It didn't mean anything to me. But along the way, I started to sense the things different. I cursed about everything because the DI cursed, and I wanted to be like the DI, so I cursed. Of course, I cursed before I went in. But I felt different. And one night on a training exercise, Geno Lynch was hit by a stray round and died. He was my friend. And it seemed like God said to me, it could have been you. Several other things happened to me. I shouldn't tell this, but I've told it so often, I might as well tell it again. I always say, I tell all my sins, and you folks sit there like you never sinned. So I'm telling you another awful thing. One day, several of my buddies took me to a place of ill repute. And they said, Arnold, it's time you become a man. I remember my mother. My mother taught me things. My mother taught me not to do things like that. She was my source of incredible strength. Mothers mean so much. Women, hold on to your theology and to your morality. If we don't have strong women in America, we'll never have a strong country. Strong women help weak men. And most men are very vulnerable to their sexual appetites. My dear wife, she was a Christian. And she let me know right off the bat, I'm a Christian. I said, well, I am too. But that night during the invitation, am I going on too long? I'm going to quit soon here because I have not much to say. But that night, the drill instructor or the evangelist, he acted just like the DI. He said, now, if you've come here tonight if you're a Christian, raise your hand. Everybody raised their hand. I was looking. He said, bow your head, close your eyes. Marines don't do that. We're always alert. You never show emotion. Never show emotion. So I'm looking across. He said, bow your head and close your eyes. I said, I'm not doing it. I didn't say it out loud, but I didn't. But everybody raised their hand, so I raised mine. After all, I was stamped a Methodist. And then he said, now, if you're here tonight and you brought somebody and you're not sure they're a Christian, why don't you nudge them and ask them? So, there was an old man sitting beside me. I thought that old fellow's going to ask me, so I put my, I got it in this side. I looked up. There was Gloria with tears down her eyes. And she said, Dave, you're not a Christian, are you? I said, no. For the first time, I became I started to become real. I said, no, I'm not. I'm glad she didn't give up. I'm glad my mother didn't give up. With all the children, my mother didn't give up. And that night when I got saved, Don, I probably told you this 1,000 times, but I like to tell it. I said to that little lady, I had intentions. I had intentions. And I said to her, I said, I'll see you later. I'm going home. And I went home. And I, the night before, I came home. Now, our house was rickety rackety. And I tried to walk up the steps. I did it so often. They were all kind of. And I got that I could pretty much do it. But that night, my mother came. She said, David, are you all right? And I was ashamed. Tonight I came home. David, mother, guess what happened to me tonight? David, what did you do now? I said, I got religion, Mom. What? I got religion tonight, Mom. Well, David, we've always had religion. I told you to do right and to pray. I said, yeah, but not the kind I got, Mom. Amen. I said, I got a different religion. I told her about it. I said, you have to go to church. You have to go down the aisle. You have to kneel there. And you have to say a prayer. And my mother said, no, you don't have to do that. I said, Mom, you have to do that. This is different. No, you don't have to do that. I called my Aunt Toy. I said, Aunt Toy, guess what happened to me tonight? She said, did you find Christ? I said, yes. And I told her. She said, no, your mother's right. You can just pray a prayer and you'll be all right. Paul said, I have had a lot of problems, but the cause is bigger than me. My aunt had a lot of problems. She said, the cause is bigger than my problem. Her husband mistreated her. But she did not give up. Christians, there's a price to be paid with each one of our lives. That price that we have to pay is not to make us worse. It's to make us better. Because my aunt had walked through tribulation where her husband walked out on her and told her he couldn't stand her, didn't want to be around her anymore. She knew forsakenness. But God was able to sustain her. And because of that, she never gave up praying for her family. I love your religion. I'm glad you're here this morning. But the cause is far greater even than this gathering. This world is headed for some deep trouble. But there's kids out here. 1,000 teenagers a week are on opioids, taking opioids. They can't stand life. You'll have to pay a price for some of them. You're going to have to suffer some for them. And because of my aunt making a deep sacrifice for Bobby and me and Paul, she didn't quit nor give up. when even her husband would backhand her and call her all kinds of names. Must I be carried to the sky on flowery beds of ease while others fight to win the prize and sail through stormy seas? Yes, I must fight if I should win. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll take the pain, endure the shame. Supported by thy word. This is the answer we have. Young men, I thought the Marine Corps would put within me a strength that I wouldn't need anything else. I felt myself so vulnerable till I found the anchor to my soul in the Word of God. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, God has taught me, Lynn, to say, it is well with my soul. The world does not understand us. They should not understand us because it doesn't make sense to them. But we have a cause, and that cause is this. He who knew no sin became sin for me, that through him I might be made the righteousness of God. Down there on the riverbank, I wanted to sing in a choir, my high school. But they said I didn't have the proper clothes and that I really couldn't sing well. So they didn't want me. I was so used to rejection. Living in an alcoholic home, I fight every, to this day, I fight insecurity. I look at these people, I say, Jesus, can I run away? But God is my strength. He undergirds me. He has given me boldness and allowed me these years to walk in his footsteps and be honored to say, I serve God. Because I had an aunt that would not quit and a mother that stood tenaciously and said, David, that is wrong. I want you to be proud. I want you to be strong. I want you to stand tall as a congregation. This world needs us. Our hope is not in Donald Trump, because 4 more years, who knows what's going to come. Another man that went around the world and apologized for America when thousands, sir, over there, the frozen chosen in Korea, they gave their life and he denied their strength and their sacrifice. Stand tall. Get in your Bibles. Let the strength of God be your strength. You all. You and God make a majority in every situation. I wish I had known that in school. I hated mathematics. I can't do mathematics to this day very good. But now I did. I found out I could have said, Jesus, I can't do mathematics. Could you pass the test for me? And he said, no, but I'll help you study. And God love you. You don't need A's to graduate. You can graduate with D's. And so the D's got me through. Did I make strength? Did I make sense to you? Every one of you. A lot of gray heads here. You old people. We're still needed, amen. I tell my grandsons. I'm going to come get you. You go where you shouldn't, I'm going to come get you. I don't care where it is, I'm going to come get you because I love you. Don't quit praying. We thank you, Jesus, for all you've done for us. I pray, God, that you'll help us to be faithful. Father, I just thank you for the people and mentors in my life that got a hold of me when I didn't even want to be gotten a hold of. You intercede. I want to thank you, Jesus. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, how many of you know you're a Christian? Would you raise your hand? I want to see your hands. You know you're a Christian. Thank God. Thank God. Put your hands up. Let me see. Thank God. Thank God. I want you to stand, please. Everyone standing. Everyone standing. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you believe that we are still needed and we as Christians must be careful not to allow our own suffering and our own troubles to displace us from the will of God for our lives? How many of you believe that? Say amen. Amen. I want to give this consecration. I want those of you that would say, I'm a Christian, and if I know my heart, I want to be careful to fulfill the cause of Christ in my life. Would you quickly come to this altar and we'll pray together? Don't wait for somebody else to push you out. Let's come. I want to rededicate my life to the cause, not my troubles. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Thank you, Jesus. Keep coming. Just keep coming. I want to lead you in a prayer. If it is your heart, I want you to pray it out loud after me. Dear Jesus, help us to realize the great cause that we are in. We thank you for making this cause possible. You died for us. Even when we were sinners, you died for us. Dear God, help us to see this cause and help us by the grace of God to do the will of God in our lives. Many lives need to be touched, even some within our own families. Would you help the cause to push us forward? And would you help us to have the cause behind our back to push us on and not give in to our weariness? In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen and amen. If you're glad you came this morning, say amen. Well, we've heard great singing. The preaching is whatever. And so now, I want to ask you if you'll sing my favorite song. Okay? Where's the pianist? All right? There's a pianist. Well, no, what is that? Okay, it's one like it, but it's not. Okay. Now, what we're going to sing, Turn Your Eyes on Jesus. Just the chorus, okay? I love it. I love it. And I'll illustrate a little for you. Turn your eyes on Jesus. Every day I have to do it.